peace that is, and comfort, has been singing today of the grace of God. That grace is amazing grace. It is abounding grace, grace that covers all our sins. And I want us to think about the grace of God today, and especially the means of grace that we would grow in Christ. Please take your Bibles and turn with me to the New Testament, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For our scripture reading. This, of course, is the chapter that has to do with the communion service, or the Lord's Supper, commonly called. We have some clear instructions here with regard to our approach to the Lord's table, and we want to think about these words today. We'll begin to read at verse 17. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse. There were some abuses of the Lord's table. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating every one taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread, and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if ye would judge yourselves, ye should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Amen. We'll end our reading there. Pray the Lord will bless the public reading of his word to our hearts today. Can we take a minute just to pray and ask the Lord's help? Pray for understanding as we come to this passage, as we think about this ordinance, that the Lord would impress upon our hearts the need to seek him and to learn of him today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we're thankful for the opportunity to approach thy throne of grace. We stand in great need today, Lord. We are weak, frail, sinful creatures of dust. Lord, thou art the Father of heaven, the one who knows all about us, the one who is acquainted with all our ways. And we ask, Lord, that you would search us now, search out our hearts, shine the light of your word upon us, that we would see ourselves in light of the scripture, that we would see our standing in Christ as believers, that we would see each and every one our state before God. We pray today, Lord, that you would encourage your people as we think of this command, as we think of this ordinance, to remember Christ. We ask, Lord, that we would meditate always upon the things of the Lord. We pray for those who are outside of Christ today, that they would recognize their peril, they would recognize their lost condition, they would seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. We ask, Lord, you would bless our time in your word and the time around the table, and even prepare us now for the table. Prepare us, Lord, to partake aright, that all that we say and do this day would be for the glory, the honor of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Purge us from our sins, and Lord, write your word upon our hearts now, we pray. We need your grace. We need to know the outpouring of your grace, even in this hour. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with us now and hear us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. On this Communion Sunday, I think it's very appropriate for us to consider the Lord's table as a means of grace. When the Bible talks about grace, it is referring to unmerited favor. I think that is the most common definition of grace. It is the unmerited favor of God to those who are undeserving of it. The Lord showing us grace, being good to us and giving to us that which is needful, even though we do not deserve it. When we speak about the means of grace, we are simply talking about the channels or the things God uses to help us in our Christian walk, to help us grow and mature spiritually. The things God employs, if you like, or appoints or uses, the means he uses to help us grow in his grace and knowledge, that we would be conform to his image. We would be like the Savior. There are things that God has appointed for the blessing of his people. We call them the means of grace. And they really help us to enter into the enjoyment and the blessings of our redemption as we meditate upon the things God has given us. And we know that every spiritual blessing we enjoy comes from our Father in heaven, flows down to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And the Spirit of God so takes the things of Christ, reveals them to us, opens our minds and our hearts to the truth, and leads us into an enjoyment of redemption, applying God's salvation, so that we would grow in the Lord. It is grace, God's grace, which enables us as believers to live for God in this world. And we need every day fresh supplies of grace. Now, traditionally, when we speak about the means of grace, we think of the Word of God as the means of grace. We think of the prayer life as a means of grace. We think of the Lord's table, and we're going to focus on that today, as a means of grace, and also the ordinance of baptism. These are the things God uses to help us mature and develop spiritually, that we would grow up in the Lord. I think it's very clear we understand how important the Word of God is in our life as believers. The Word of God as a means of grace. The Bible says, just as newborn babes desire their mother's milk, so we as believers are to desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we would grow thereby. We need to feed upon the Word of God day by day if we are to be nourished, if we are to be strengthened, if we are to be strong in the faith. We need to feed upon the Word of God. In the Word, God reveals Himself to us. He shows Himself, His perfection, His nature, His character, His plan of salvation. He reveals our state before Him. He shows us our sinfulness and our need of Christ the Savior. He shows us the requirements of His law, what He requires of us. And so, we think about the Word of God. And I think we would all be agreed that the Word of God is important for us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. If we don't communicate with the Lord in His Word, if we don't listen to His speaking voice in the Word, then we're not going to be enjoying that fellowship with Him. We're not going to be walking in close communion with the Lord. But when we read and honor the Word of God, when we magnify the Word, when we receive it with meekness, when we apply it in our life, we will grow in Christ. The inspired Word is given for our profit. Paul made that clear when writing to young Timothy. He said, all Scripture is given, it's a gift of God, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's for our profit, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we would be thoroughly furnished, that we would be complete as we give attention to the Word of God. And as we become familiar with the Word of God, and not only reading it and becoming familiar with it, but delving into it and endeavoring to understand the Word of God, we will be strengthened. We will grow. The Word will be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And in proportion then, as we read the Word, become familiar with it, apply it, understand it, we will become stronger and stronger in the faith. The Word as a means of grace. But we were also reading from the Gospel of Matthew today, Matthew chapter 7. Prayer as a means of grace. If we as Christians are to grow, we need fresh supplies of grace every day. And that means we need to come to our Father in heaven and seek His help. We are instructed in the Word to seek the Lord for daily grace. Remember when the Lord Jesus taught His disciples to pray, set before them that model for prayer. He said, after this manner pray ye. And one of the petitions in that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. When you and I pray that prayer, we are simply asking God for fresh supplies of grace for that day. Give me that which is necessary, my supply for that day. I need your grace, Lord. We're acknowledging our dependence upon the Lord. We are coming to Him and we are asking Him for those things that are needful. And so we're instructed to pray in this manner. Give us this day our daily bread. We're simply asking God to supply that which is necessary for us to live in a God-honoring way. We're praying for grace to be given. We are praying for a fresh supply of grace. Grace for each situation we will encounter. Grace for that season. Grace for that time. Whatever we will face in the day. Give us your grace, Lord. And prayer is a means of grace. And Matthew 7, that portion Dr. McClelland read, is abundant proof of that fact. That of the willingness of the Lord to help us and to give that which is needed as we come to Him, as we ask. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. There is a willingness on the part of Christ to supply our every need. as we come to him, as we show that dependence upon the Lord. And if we are to obtain the much needed help we desire, the Lord says all we have to do is ask, is seek, is knock. And he says, come boldly onto the throne of grace, that you would obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Hebrews 4, verse 16. The Lord is so willing to help us if we would but ask him, seek him, knock, call upon the Lord. So I think those two things, the word is essential to our growth in grace, that communion with God, keeping up close prayer life with the Lord, spending time with him, communicating to him our needs, is a means of growing in grace. But then we come to the ordinances. We think of baptism and the Lord's Supper, or the Lord's table that is set before us here today. With baptism and the Lord's Supper, we as believers are acknowledging our relationship to Jesus Christ. We are publicly declaring and affirming our devotion to the Savior. We're affirming that desire to walk in fellowship with the Lord. Again, showing our need of him, acknowledging our need, showing how dependent we are upon the Lord. And with those ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, those two things, that they're significant. They signify that there is a personal, a living, a vital relationship with Jesus Christ. Without that living, vital, personal relationship, these ordinances are meaningless. You do not discern the Lord's body, not knowing the Lord. It's the Lord's table for the Lord's people. And we come together at the Lord's table, especially to recall, to remember what Christ has accomplished for us by his death on the cross. As we seek to live in a manner worthy of our Savior, worthy of our God, we need to always keep this at the forefront of our mind. And this is why we are commanded to do this in remembrance of the Lord, in remembrance of Christ. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 11 here, he gives us very clear and comprehensive instructions with regard to our coming to the Lord's table and how the Lord's table can be a means of grace to us. The communion feast or the Lord's Supper is something that the Lord Jesus Christ ordained, or he instituted in the upper room as he spent time there with his disciples, instructing them and teaching them, breaking bread with them, drinking the cup with them. He set before them the significance of these elements. And when we think about the purpose of this ordinance, why the Lord instituted this table, the purpose of this ordinance is summed up by that word which is inscribed on our communion table, and which we find here in verse 24 and 25. The Lord says, "This do in remembrance of me. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you are doing this in remembrance of me." That's the purpose. To remember Christ. To call to mind what he has accomplished for us. That's the whole purpose. And the leading feature then of this ordinance is that we remember. Remember. Christ says, "Remember me." It's a memorial feast. It's a commemoration. It's not a new sacrifice. There's no sacrifice being made here as we come to the Lord's table. It is simply a memorial feast. We remember Christ. That's the leading feature. These symbols before us of bread and wine, they remind us of the work that Christ has accomplished on our behalf. You know, memory is a great aid to growth. As we remember, as we meditate upon, as we think about what Christ has done for us, our souls rejoice, and we are strengthened with might in the inner man. Memory is a great aid to growth in grace. You consider the words of Jeremiah. If you were to turn to Lamentations chapter 3, as he calls to mind the things the Lord had done for him. And we read there in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 19, remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. He remembered his miserable estate. And then he looks to the Lord, and there's hope. My soul still hath in remembrance and is humbled in me. So he's thinking about what the Lord has done for him. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. He goes on to say, it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. He's acknowledging God's salvation. He's acknowledging salvation is of the Lord. It's all of grace. I was in a miserable place, a miserable estate. The Lord lifted me from that place, set me upon the rock, established my goings. I remember his mercy. I remember his compassion. I remember his faithfulness. And I have hope. I'm encouraged. I'm strengthened. And I will wait upon the Lord. There's that remembrance. Remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. It has the idea of calling to mind what Christ has done for you. There's a consciousness, an awareness of what Christ has done for you. Consciously setting your affection on the things of Christ. This do in remembrance of me. And believer, that's a great encouragement. As we come to the Lord's table, we are remembering what Christ has accomplished for us. The remembrance of his goodness. That leads us to repentance. The remembrance of his mercy renews our hope. The remembrance of what he has done for us, to think of what he has delivered us from. The remembrance of his love. It leads to humble thankfulness, gratitude to God. The remembrance of his saving grace and mercy in our lives. Where would we be apart from Christ? Call this to mind. Remember what Christ has done for you. It'll move you to serve him, to give yourself to him, to offer yourself to him in light of what he has accomplished for you. Remembrance, it's a great aid to growth in grace. You would mature spiritually. And the leading feature then of the communion service is to remember, that we were remember. It's a memorial feast to the Lord. It brings us back to an occupation with Christ. To be occupied with Christ, what he has done. This do in remembrance of me. Because the fountain of grace is Christ himself. He is that fountain opened for sin and for all uncleanness. The fountain of grace is Christ, and as we draw from that well, the well of life, as we draw from Christ himself, we are sustained and we are strengthened spiritually. We grow in grace and in knowledge. And as we think of the elements here before us of bread and of wine, the cup, and the bread, the visible elements here, they're an aid to us. They're a picture, an illustration to help us remember what Christ has accomplished for us. A picture lesson that appeals to the senses, reminding us of the great cost of our salvation. calling us to consider him. Remember, remember me. That's the feature. What's the focus? The focus, of course, is Christ himself. We are drawn to Jesus to be occupied with him. We remember him, what he has done for us, especially in the fact that he has forgiven our sins by that blood atonement, by that once for all sacrifice for sins. This is not a new sacrifice. The bread and the juice, they do not turn into the body and the blood of Christ. There's not a fresh offering here. We are remembering that once for all sacrifice for our sins, as we're told in Hebrews. That perfect, that sufficient sacrifice of Christ. That's what we need. What privileges, what benefits we enjoy as believers because of the redemption Christ has purchased at Calvary. What blessings we enjoy. And you know, it's beneficial for us as we come to the Lord's table just to dwell on those scriptures that remind us of the Lord's death, that speak to us of his atoning work. We often turn to Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And it's by his stripes we are healed. Just calling these words to mind, thinking again of what Christ has accomplished for us, that he was made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made or constituted the righteousness of God, that we would be considered righteous in the eyes of God, rebellious sinners, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, the despising, the contradiction of sinners, the reproach, the scorn, the cruelty. Call to mind, believer, what Christ has accomplished for you. And you know, the Lord does not want us to lose sight of this fact. He doesn't want us to lose sight of the fact that through his death, we live. In dying, he raised us to life. We who were dead in trespasses and in sins, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God took our sin, took our burden, took our guilt, took our place, voluntarily, willingly, freely gave himself for us. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. That's amazing grace. And as we think about that, as our memories are stirred up, as our hearts are stirred up to think again of what Christ has accomplished every time we come to the table, it's for our benefit, for our growth in grace. The Lord does not want us to lose sight of this fact. But you know, in order for us to fully benefit from this time of communion, we as believers should see the Lord's table as a special time. For us, it's once a month we come together. For other churches, it's every week. Sometimes it's quarterly in other churches. But for us, it's once a month. The Lord said, as often as you do this, as often as you eat and drink, this do in remembrance of me. And so monthly we come together, and we ought to see this time at the Lord's table as a special time of fellowship, a special time of communion with Christ, where we personally commune with him, coming prepared, coming with anticipation, coming to meet with the Lord. It's a time that the Lord has set aside for our benefit, for our blessing. Meeting together, fellowship with Christ, fellowship with the redeemed body of Christ, the church, with those of like precious faith. And we need to keep in mind, sometimes we take these things for granted. We come, there's a formality about our service, There's a form of godliness, perhaps. There's a tendency at times to go through the motions. And we become familiar with these things. But we need to see this time as a special time of meeting with the Lord. And participation is to believers a special time of fellowship with Christ, partaking at His table. It's the privilege of those who believe. Paul, in this place, as I said, gives us clear, comprehensive instruction with regard to our coming, our approach to the Lord's table. And there's good instruction for us to take heed to as we think about how we should prepare for this time. There ought to be that anticipation, a sense of anticipation, even before we come. The week before, when the communion service is announced, a sense of anticipation. We look forward to that time of communion. It's a special time of meeting with the Lord, of sharing fellowship with Him, a means of grace to strengthen your soul. You think of it as the place of renewal. It's the place of remembrance. It's a place of rejoicing in Christ the Savior and what He has accomplished for you. There's that anticipation even before we come. But also before we come, there's that time of examination. It says here in verse 28, but let a man examine himself. Let a man examine himself. That honest self-examination even before we approach the table of the Lord. Before participating, there's a searching of the heart. There's a seeking after God. There's a looking within. And this is the charge. Let a man examine himself, each and every one of us. Participation at the Lord's table should always be preceded by this honest self-examination. Confession of sin. The psalmist prayed in Psalm 139. He prayed to the omniscient God. He said, search me and know me and see if there be any wicked way in me. There was a searching of the heart, a time of personal examination with a desire to go on with God, to grow in grace and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the path of righteousness. Examination. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. And so, and then only, as we have done that, then we come to participate. As we examine ourselves, as we search our souls, as we confess our sins, as we repent, it says, and so, and then only, let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. So there's anticipation coming. The sense of anticipation, expectation. Having examined yourself. And then there is that participation. It says, this do in remembrance of me. We are partakers of the elements. This do. That's a command. And commands are to be obeyed. This do is a command to be obeyed in order to your spiritual health and well-being. It's for your good. This is something that God has appointed for the blessing of His people. This do in remembrance of me. So it's our duty, but it also ought to be our delight. And as we think of this ordinance, it's an ordinance not to be forsaken. Not to be forsaken by God's people. Believers are here commanded to partake for their spiritual nourishment, for their benefit, for their growth. We're not to be careless, in other words, about the observance of the Lord's table. But we are to be consistent and regular in our attendance at the Lord's table. An ordinance not to be forsaken. This do. That's a command to be obeyed. On a regular basis, a consistent manner, partaking by faith of Christ, feeding your soul upon the Savior, that you would be strengthened in Him. And then we ought to also see the Lord's table as an act of consecration. What are we doing when we come to the Lord's table? We are presenting ourselves again to the Lord. We're remembering what He has done for us, what we owe to Him, how blessed we are. We have taken time to examine ourselves, to repent of our sin, and now we affirm our love for Jesus. There's that act of consecration. This is an act of worship. It's a key part to our worship service. A declaration of our allegiance. It says there in verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come." You're showing the Lord's death. You're declaring. There's a declaration made here. You're declaring what the Lord has done for you. You do show. It means to announce as a herald of Christ. His death is your life. You are saying, "I belong to Jesus." You do show the Lord's death. You're announcing, you're declaring, you're affirming your love for Christ. You're pledging your allegiance to Him. You are again taking up the cross. You're coming apart for this time. It's a time of devotion. We're coming apart to renew our devotion, declaring the Lord's death till He come. You're saying, "I am His and He is mine." And in that, there's not only consecration or devotion, but there's identification with Jesus. I am His. He is mine. I belong to Jesus. And you're showing really the relevance of Christ's death as revealed in the Scriptures. It's an act of worship, an act of personal love and obedience, an act of consecration. A solemn step where you're acknowledging that union between you and Christ, and you're separating from the world and from sin. You're coming to the Savior. So at baptism, the Christian makes a public declaration of his faith. Faith in Christ, that intent of going on with the Lord as a true disciple, taking up the cross, following Christ, no matter what the cost. So it is at the Lord's table, there is that act of consecration, that we desire to live as a true disciple of the Lord, showing the relevance of His death in our life, showing to others around us that we are part of this body, the body of Christ, this body of believers. And the Lord's Supper, the Lord's table, is a solemn profession of our attachment, our allegiance to the Savior. I love the Lord because I call to mind all that the Lord has done for me, and so I give myself to Him. And that's why Paul said in Romans 12, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, in light of the mercy of God and the grace of God and all that the Lord has done for you in justifying," you were condemned, but now you're justified by grace. You're adopted into the family of God. You are being sanctified day by day, and you're on your way to glory. In light of the mercy of God, present yourselves a living sacrifice to God. That's your reasonable service. That's your spiritual worship, as you give yourself afresh to the Savior. I wonder today, is there that identification with Christ? Do you know the Lord? Are you part of this body? Are you redeemed by His blood? Do you rejoice in His sacrifice on your behalf? Have you committed your life to the Savior? If so, you can come to this table with joy. You can partake, rejoicing in Christ, in the fact that you are identified with Him, that you are united to the Lord. If the Christian is to make real progress, we need to be occupied more and more with Christ. There are so many other things in this world that crave our attention, that steal our time, that distract us and draw us away. So many things to allure us. But more and more as believers, we need to be occupied with Christ, satisfied in Christ, content, resting in Him. He is the sum and substance of all truth. He is full of grace and truth. And all grace comes from Him. And the more we are acquainted with His person, His office, His work, the more we will be nourished, strengthened, satisfied. The more we look to the means of grace, there will be that promotion, that spiritual growth in our life. He gives grace upon grace. And so as we come to the Lord's table today, may we anticipate that time of fellowship, having examined our hearts, confessed our sins, partaking with joy. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. And let us give ourselves afresh to the Savior today, pledging our allegiance to Him. May we never lose sight of the fact that He loved us and gave Himself for us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to Thee this day. We're thankful for Your grace. Where would we be apart from God's grace? Grace that is greater than all our sin. Grace that covers our transgressions. Grace that receives us and accepts us as unworthy as we are. We're thankful for Your love. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and gave His Son. Christ gave Himself to be that propitiation for our sins, that we would be reconciled to God through the blood of His cross. May we today, Lord, take time to meditate upon these wonderful truths. May we always be occupied with what Christ has done for us. Bless us in our closing hymn, and as we abide, as we remain around the table, we pray, Lord, that there would be that conscious sense of Your presence with us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.